Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
I would just start being honest with people and just figure out what you can do to help them. Don't worry about what you can get from this person. I started doing that and I've done it every day since then. It's unbelievable what that has opened up, which has led me to this part of my life. The genius show, oh, how long it takes.
Happy 2020, my friends. Wow, we're into a new decade, precisely 6 days in. Can you believe it? This is amazing. Now, last week on The Ginny Show, I kind of declared what my word for 2020 would be, and that is the ability to draw boundaries. Boundaries is my word for 2020, and how I'm going to achieve that is to make this a year of courage, compassion, and connection. Yes, I have been reading Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection, and that is something that came to me when I read this book, just about how important boundaries are when it comes to really taking care of ourselves and our emotional boundaries. You know, understanding ourselves emotionally, what triggers us, why do we feel the way that we do? These are really important questions to ask and reflect on because it triggers a process of self-awareness and also brings us closer to the word self-love. Now, we talk about this a lot on The Ginny Show because it is super important in how we take care of ourselves. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, what does manifest in our life as a result is anxiety, addiction, depression, sadness, a feeling of displacement and not belonging. These are things that are not going to lead us to happiness. They're only going to put us more and more into sadness, really. So this is why it's important that we explore self-awareness. Now, my next guest is super talented, and he calls himself the super connector because that is what he does and that is who he is. He does connect people from all fields of life, and he gives them the ability to have a platform to share that message with the world. Chris Winfield, the super connector himself, is my next guest. And I had the privilege of meeting him in my first year in being in New York City and seeing how he's created the life that he has through the one key thing that gives you what he calls an unfair advantage. And that is your relationships, which are formed through a very important word, connection. So here he is, the super connector himself, Chris Winfield, on The Ginny Show. Welcome back to another episode of The Ginny Show. I'm very excited to talk to this next guest because when I first moved to New York City, I didn't actually know very many people. And when I actually spoke to this guy for the first time, he added me to Facebook and he made me feel like, you know, I was a part of a community and a family. Mr. Chris Winfield, welcome to The Ginny Show.
Thank you, Ginny. So good to reconnect and talk to you.
Absolutely. And I love the word that you use in there, connect, which is what we're going to talk all about today, Chris. Chris, I've only known you just over a year, and obviously working alongside with you for a short period of time, I've got to know you and your team and your company. But I want to actually talk to you about the Chris before I got to know you. And this was obviously the Chris with a different kind of haircut, which you referred to as a yuppie haircut. Firstly, what made you choose to have that style of haircut in that time?
I have no idea. I cannot answer that in any good way.
But tell me about how life was for you back then. Obviously, there's been a big transformational journey that you've gone through. I'd love to hear about how life was like for you back then.
All right. I break down my life in a couple of different ways, but really, for me, it's broken down into three major parts. So one was everything before January 3rd, 2011. So January 3rd, 2011, I checked into a rehab and I have been sober ever since then. So that was like the first part of my journey. And before that, I had been I'd grown up in a town called Tuxedo, New York, which is where the tuxedo is invented.
Right.
But the thing about Tuxedo, New York was that it was a town that was broken down into really two towns. One was probably one of the richest places in America, is a place called Tuxedo Park. Gated community, a gated town, I think the only gated town in America, where, you know, there's tremendous wealth. And then there was also Tuxedo, New York. And literally, I lived in the other part of that town called Tuxedo, New York, literally on the other side of the train tracks. And right. I grew up always just thinking and wishing that I lived in Tuxedo Park and always feeling less than. So I can remember as like a 4 or 5 year old feeling like less than because I didn't live in the park. And for most of my life, I chased that. I thought that if I got rich, I'd be happy. Like, it was such a clear black and white for me. Even when I would hit like a different financial milestone or anything, it would last for like 30 minutes or something like that. I remember like the first time I ever got a nice car, it was a BMW, and I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and I bought the car in New Jersey. I remember driving back and I was happy for like literally 30 minutes. I didn't even make it out of New Jersey before it wore off. But it didn't matter. Like, I would always chase that. And to be completely honest, I can still go back to that, especially living in New York and all these different things. But anyway, you know, and I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family or anything like that. I was the first person in my family to not work in a school system.
Wow.
Yeah. And I worked at one company, and that company was such a mess. And I wound up creating my own company and, you know, been an entrepreneur since then. And that company, actually a bunch of different companies, and they were successful, and things looked great on the outside, but I wasn't a happy person at all. And I had always, you know, struggled with, and I don't even think it was a struggle, to be honest, drugs and alcohol, because it wasn't a struggle, because that was just a part of my life, especially alcohol. And as I started this with, January 3rd, 2011, I went and checked into a rehab, and that was the start of changing every part of my life. I didn't realize that it was going to be that at that time, but that's really when things just, you know, started to shift for me, even though at the time that felt like the worst day of my life. But I always look back, and I was just talking about this with somebody just now, as that is the best day of my life by far. I still, even though the next morning I woke up and wrote down, today's the worst day of my life. But I felt, you know, and 6 months later, I realized that that was the best day of my life. And I still believe that. So that's and then let me fast forward a little bit. So the next part of my life is where I break down was probably about 2 years and, you know, a few months later. The company that co-founded a company about 9 months before I wound up getting sober. So you can imagine what I was like kind of attracting in, because I wasn't the best person myself. So I wasn't attracting in the best people. We had started this company and it kept growing. And at that point, so 2 years later, it's at like about 100 people. And, you know, we have a bunch of different offices and it looks really good on the outside. And on the inside, it was a mess. And that company completely just like imploded in March of 2013. And it was, again, like one of those things where I was like, oh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And, you know, then it wound up being, again, one of the best things. That's why I look at that as a major turning point in my life, because if I lost pretty much everything at that point, and because I'd invested so much in this company and all this, and I was so tied to it, my ego was so tied to it, and that company just, you know, when it went away, and it went away in like the worst possible way, all these terrible things, blah, 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 and I had to really just like take a time to get right with myself and really discover, like, who am I? And one of the things I started doing, I realized I was very disconnected from other people. And I started this thing in April of 2013. I didn't realize what it was going to become, but I started doing something where I would meet with one person every single day. And I just said to myself, just be open, honest, and vulnerable with these people. So I'd always tried to put on the best. And instead, I would just start being honest with people. And I also, the other rule for this experiment was just figure out what you can do to help them. And don't worry about what you can get from this person. I started doing that, and I've done it every day since then, you know, where I just came from, why I looked all sweaty on the beginning of our interview. I just, you know, came back from a walk with somebody, and, you know, and I still do this. It's unbelievable what that has opened up, which has led me to this part of my life. So in February of 2017, I was in this small mastermind group, and they said, hey, why are you not teaching people what you do best? So I built like a good personal development and productivity business. But my friends in this group said, why aren't you teaching people what you know best? I said, what do you mean? They said, well, whenever we describe you to somebody, we describe you as our unfair advantage. And anytime that we need anything, we want to get media, we want to find a launch partner, whatever it is, you're able to just text somebody and make it happen. In July of 2017, one of the people in that group and I did the first Unfair Advantage live event, where it was simply about teaching people this stuff that had kind of come natural to me, but around how to develop relationships, how to create these win-win partnerships, and how to get in the media, and then bringing in people from the media to actually create relationships with, because I'd had so many great contacts. So that then, you know, that one-day event became a two-day event. Then that two-day event became a three-day event where people are flying in from all over the world for this. And then as a result of that, we created a company, and, you know, which is now, you know, about 20-person company and a multi-million-dollar company. And just from, you know, around this simple concept of like showing up, be yourself, and create these amazing connections. And be yourself in the media. The Jamie Show.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
The Jamie Show. There's so much that you shared with our audience, and I do thank you for your honesty and authenticity in that. I want to kind of touch base on a few things there. One thing I really loved about what you said was you kind of put yourself in a position of service where you helped others, and in a way, it was a vehicle that you used to help yourself, and you completely removed any attachment to the outcome. So you really did do some refining work on your ego there. How did you get to that mindset? Because it's very hard to kind of go into something. And as humans, we come with an ego when we, you know, incarnate on this earth. So it's very hard not to be attached to an outcome or attached to a certain scenario. How did you cultivate that, I guess, complete surrender when you go into something?
You know, I don't know if I ever have had one moment of complete surrender. So I don't want it to sound like that, you know, because I still struggle with all the same things. But, you know, at that point, they talk about like the gift of desperation. And what that means is like when you get to a point where like you just realize, so things are not working. The way that I've done things is not working. So let me try something completely different. Let me go against what I've done. And, you know, the more that I'm able to do that in my life, the happier I wind up being. Now, it's not an easy thing to do, but, you know, that's really where I think where it comes from.
Great. You said that the more that you keep doing it, the happier that you are. Can you give me, I know this is a deep question, Chris, but what is your definition of happiness?
I'll just tell you the first thing that came to mind was freedom. I don't know why. I don't know if I have a good definition, but freedom from my own judgments, freedom from expectations, things like that. I think that's where I get the most happiness.
Absolutely right. I think a lot of people would agree with that too, Chris. I'm curious to know as well, clearly you've done a lot of work
on yourself and the mindset stuff that you have to, you know, manifest your multi-million dollar company that you have at the moment, and that connects people to various opportunities and gives them an unfair advantage. I'm curious to know too, do you have like a morning routine that you do every day that grounds you?
I love this question because I have just recommitted to my morning routine. I cannot tell you how important the morning is for me. And it is something also that I don't know if I'm the, well, I know I'm not the only one, but that when things work really well, I have a tendency to stop doing them because they work so well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I'm doing something right now. So my morning routine, we just got back, as I was saying, from Greece. And, you know, one of the things that I realized was just how out of alignment I'd gotten with mornings and rushing and, you know, just like looking at social media or things like that first thing. And so what I've been doing and really just recommitted to is a much more in-depth morning routine. So like for me, with it, here's the things that work, and that I can't say that I do them all the time. I've been doing them consistently over the last 4 or 5 years, but I'll go through different periods. And I always like to be honest with stuff like that because I don't ever want it to sound like, oh yeah, I'm just coming on and doing like I'm perfect with all this stuff, because I'm not, you know, and I don't, right. I've never met anyone who is. But what works for me is getting up early and waking right up, you know, never hitting snooze, nothing like that. And then, you know, the first thing that I'll do is say, today is going to be the best day ever. The second after that is to get on my knees and pray quickly, just say thanks, whatever that is. And then either myself or my girlfriend make the bed. And then I read, I journal, I write 2 gratitude lists, a regular gratitude list, and then a future gratitude list. So being thankful for things that haven't happened yet, but that I want to happen, you know, then also meditation. So right now, another part of my morning routine is my daughter's in camp. So I have a 9-year-old daughter. So she's in sleepaway camp for 7 freaking weeks, the first time ever. So I write her a card and send her an email. They don't have any phones or anything, but they print out the email. So I do that, you know, like, so all things along those lines. Yeah.
No, that's amazing, Chris. And thank you for your honesty too in saying that, you know, this is something you intend to do every day, but it, sometimes it's not always successful, because I think sometimes there is a portrayal out there with people putting out morning routines that it must happen all the time. But as we are humans, we have human days where we may want to hit snooze. So it does happen. But one of the things that I have been kind of studying about people who are the happiest or successful or have, you know, financial freedom in their lives is their morning routines. And a lot of what you've mentioned there, gratitude practice, getting up early, some form of prayer or meditation, and some form of, I guess, reading or journaling is like a high-performing individual. So thank you for sharing your morning routine with me. I really appreciate that. I'm actually surprised that you didn't mention coffee. Are you not a coffee drinker?
Oh, I do. I just don't think of that is my actual morning routine. That's interesting. I just think I do drink coffee, but I don't have it as like, so I use this app called Way of Life to track all the different things that I do each day. And you can just go down. So, but I don't have coffee on that.
Fantastic. Chris, I'd like to also know if you're willing to share this as well. There's a quote there that says you are the product of the 5 people that you spend the most time with. Who are the 5 people that you spend the most time with, and what word would you use to describe each of them?
So the 5 people, I'll just think of for right now, my girlfriend / business partner, Jen Gottlieb, who I spend almost all my time with. She's, you know, the greatest influence on my life by far. So 2 other people that I don't physically spend the most time with, but we have this group text of myself, Jen, this guy, Gio Benitez, and his husband, Tommy D'Addario. So Gio is a reporter for Good Morning America. Tommy is a guy, an amazing guy, and Rachel Ray and all these different shows, he's a presenter. We have this group text called Abundance, and I feel like I am always with them, you know, and it's all based around abundance. So you ask me, how would I describe these people as inspiring, abundant mindset, and, you know, keeping that for me. outside of that is people that I work with when my daughter's not in camp, my daughter. And, you know, for the people that I surround myself with are people that have a growth mindset, people that want to become better. So Angela Benici, who you know as well, who's our VP of media, all types of people that want to be better and that are doing things to make the world a better place.
That's beautiful, Chris. Thank you for sharing that with me. Sounds like you've got a good group of people in your corner as well. So thanks for sharing that.
That's just a small part, which is so amazing. Like, I could sit here and there's so many different people that I could list off. And, you know, I'm really blessed to be able to say that.
Fantastic, Chris. Chris, I've got some fireside questions for you to kind of wrap up the interview. Are you ready to take them?
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic. Number one, Chris, how do you take your coffee?
Right now, oat milk.
Nice. Nice. So it's just a coffee with oat milk.
Yep.
This is good to know. Awesome. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Yes.
And what is the extent of communication in the bathroom with your phone?
It depends on the day.
I love the honesty, Chris. This is fantastic. Number three, if you could invite three people to dinner and you'd throw a dinner party for them, who would they be and what would you cook for them?
And could they be, are they alive, dead, what?
Anyone, alive, dead, fake, fiction.
I would go with Jesus, President Obama, and I'm just going to say the people who came to my mind, Martin Luther King. So those three, and I would order in because I don't have any pots or pans.
Fantastic. What would you order in? What's your favorite takeout?
I don't have a favorite takeout. I would ask them what they want, to be honest, Jenny.
That's beautiful, Chris. I love that. I think I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What is your superpower?
Connecting people.
I thought you would say that. And lastly, this is a random question. What would you do if you were a fish?
Swim.
Thank you very much, Chris Winfield. Thank you so much for joining me on The Ginny Show. It's been an absolute pleasure sharing time with you and learning more about you. Where can the good people of The Ginny Show find you?
My website's chriswinfield.com, chriswinfield, or you can connect with me on Instagram, Chris Winfield.
Beautiful. The Ginny Show.
Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look, live unbound. Check it out at conair.com and search unbound.